It's the Advertising Week Social Club. We are at AWSC Chat today, 6 March 2012. And we are on question number two. Newbear, tee us up what the question... That's not even good English. Please tell us what the question was. I'm telling you, I am hopped up on cold medicine.
What's
the question? Just tell me the question.
Very simply, the second question is, when and how should brands decide to give themselves makeovers to keep up with shifting beauty?
All right, so Newbear's
we've got some really good got some really good stuff coming in.
So I was just going to say that Katarina is in Toronto joining us today, art directing our chat. She'd brought up an interesting topic, the ill-fated Gap logo fiasco imbroglio.
And Raymond, you jumped on that in the connection at reply.
Okay.
Keeping up with beauty should not mean compromising its heritage / history. Example, Gap's attempt to modernize its logo equals bad idea.
Well, I think somebody maybe watched the movie Helvetica and thought it was a good idea. Kat, your thoughts. Shoot, go.
That logo, I think, was a complete disaster. And even though they tried to turn it into some sort of a PR manageable crisis with that Twitter Gap logo, what was it, tweeting for a week and a half? And it was a really angry logo tweeting spread of words and swear words, and it was not a PG-friendly thing. So that whole thing was a huge disaster, in my opinion. But the logo itself, there was no need for the change in their case, just because the logo was not necessarily outdated by any means. That it was using classic typefaces and very standard colors that spoke Gap more so than anything that they went for after that. So that was definitely not when there was need for it.
But I give them cool points for at least trying. I'm looking at some stuff lying around in front of me right now. So PayPal freshened their logo up. I'm actually looking at credit cards right now. So Alaska Airlines out here, some people might say, that could use a little freshen up, but it is traditional. It is a little, it's traditional. The Body Shop did a little freshening up, but they weren't, they didn't seem to be like big wholesale changes. They just tended to be freshening up. So where do you think the disconnect was with the Gap in terms of trying to freshen it up and absolutely losing the spirit of what that meant?
Last year, like you said, a lot of companies went in to simplify their logos just because the trends kind of started simplifying as well. So Starbucks did that too. And Gap kind of went a little too far with the simplification factor. And it wasn't necessarily the best looking logo either. That's something that people look at all the time, and it's not a beautiful update.
I'm trying to figure out where the ire really came from, because it didn't feel like quite a 180 to me. I guess I was ambivalent about it. I was kind of thinking, well, okay, it really doesn't impact me, but I was actually quite surprised at the blowback from that.
I think so much of it has to do with the audience, and
yeah, of course.
As a shameless example, my Kentucky Wildcats, Kentucky blue and white, right? Very traditional, very through the years, not much has changed. And with Nike's system of address in the past few years, they've done a couple of silver or off-white. I don't know if off-white, I can't think of the exact name of the color, but it's basically a silver to the eye on television. And the Kentucky fan base up in arms because they're very traditional. They had a lot of backlash to their football uniforms when they put the racing, checkerboard up on the shoulders, or when they brought out the black uniforms. I think a lot of it has to do with the fan base or the confidence that fan base has in what their brand represents, at times through its simplicity and because of it. This is something that exists, that wins. If it's not wins and losses in the sporting arena, it's in the style game on the street.
All right, I got you. But let's flip it to the other side, where I am, Oregon. They've gone completely the other direction. How do you explain the unbridled love and passion? Because quite frankly, all right, let me take it one step further. A little peek behind the curtain. I was involved many years ago with this project, and the mascot at University of Oregon, and it's the duck. They call him Puddles. He's adorable. And then we tried to do this thing called Robo Duck, and it was an unmitigated disaster, which I can understand, because you do not mess with a mascot. But you take a look at the tradition of the colors of Oregon, and they went into a completely different direction. People go bananas, but for the right reasons. How do you explain that, Mr. New Bear in Kentucky?
I think it's a completely different base. I think you have, in that instance, a base that is liberated and given a, hey, look
you're
at me.
You're calling us hippies. I get it. Okay.
I'm not calling you hippies, but what I'm saying to you is that if you compare the tradition of Kentucky basketball to the tradition of Oregon, anything except for running, it's completely opposite ends of the spectrum. And the colors and the styles and the logos, what Oregon did created brand identity where none existed before. Whereas with a powerful program, institution, brand, when you're rebranding that brand, you're taking the chance that you're going to alienate people who have been with you in many cases for the duration of their lives or even across generations of their entire family.
Okay. All right. That's fair. All right. Well, go ahead. Go ahead, Kat.
I think it also depends on your target market because it depends on who you are. Some brands have a shift in target market that continually stays young. But if you hold on to the same target group and then move on and grow with them, change is not necessary because they're used to what you have. But if your target market consistently updates, if you always target to the 18-year-olds, there is always the necessity for the logo update or the look update because trends change. And your 18-year-olds now are not the same as they were 5 years ago. So they wouldn't be looking at that image the same way.
Okay.
And to think about the level of expectation that it sets and the target audience that Katarina's talking about, Oregon, yeah, they're talking to ESPN and yeah, they're talking to their alums and everybody who's watching them across the world. But more specifically, they're talking to that 16 to 18-year-old kid who they're trying to get to come to their school. The next level is that the expectation is that there is going to be incessant reinvention because if they get stale, that would be a break from the norm.
Okay, fair. All right, well, we'll continue on here with question three. Thank you all for joining us. It is the AWSC chat at Advertising Week.